"You have a dictionary, I believe," she said. "A strange but useful thing for a girl to have."
"Yes, Miss Treason."
"On my bookshelf you will find a rather larger dictionary, an unexpurgated dictionary, a useful thing for a young woman to have. You may take it, and one other book. The others will remain with the cottage. You may also have my broomstick. Everything else, of course, belongs to the cottage."
"Thank you very much, Miss Treason. I'd like to take that book about mythology."
"Ah, yes, Chaffinch, a very good choice. It has been a great help to me, and will, I suspect, be of particular assistance to you. The loom must stay, of course. Anagramma Hawking will find it useful."
Tiffany doubted this. Anagramma wasn't very practical at all, but it was probably not the time to say so. Miss Treason leaned back against the cushions.
"They think you wove names into your cloth," said Tiffany.
"That? Oh, it's true. There's nothing magical about it. It's a very old trick. Any weaver can do it. You won't be able to read it, though, without knowing how it was done."
Miss Treason sighed.
"Oh, my silly people. Anything they don't understand is magic. They think I can see into their hearts, but no witch can do that. Not without surgery, at least. No magic is needed to read their little minds, though. I've known them since they were babes. I remember when their grandparents were babes. They think they're so grown up, but they're still no better than babies in the sandpit, squabbling over mud pies. I see their lies and excuses and fears. They never grow up, not really. They never look up and open their eyes. They stay children their whole lives."
"I'm sure they'll miss you," said Tiffany.
"Ha! I'm the wicked old witch girl. They feared me, and did what they were told. They feared joke skulls and silly stories. I chose fear. I knew they'd never love me for telling them the truth, so I made certain of their fear. No, they'll be relieved to hear that the witch is dead. And now I shall tell you something vitally important. It is the secret of my long life."
"Ah," thought Tiffany, and she leaned forward.
"The important thing," said Miss Treason, "is to stay the passage of the wind. You should avoid rumbustious fruits and vegetables. Beans are the worst, take it from me."
"I don't think I understand," Tiffany began.
"Try not to fart, in a nutshell."
"In a nutshell, I imagine it would be pretty unpleasant," said Tiffany nervously. She couldn't believe she was being told this.
"This is no joking matter," said Miss Treason. "The human body only has so much air in it. You have to make it last. One plate of beans can take a year off your life. I have avoided rumbustiousness all my days. I am an old person, and that means what I say is wisdom."
She gave the bewildered Tiffany a stern look.
"Do you understand, child?"
Tiffany's mind raced. "Everything is a test."
"No," she said. "I'm not a child, and that's nonsense, not wisdom."
The stern look cracked into a smile.
"Yes," said Miss Treason. "Total gibberish. But you've got to admit it's a corker all the same, right? You definitely believed it just for a moment. The villagers did last year. You should have seen the way they walked about for a few weeks. The strained looks on their faces quite cheered me up. How are things with the Wintersmith? All gone quiet, has it?"
The question was like a sharp knife in a slice of cake, and arrived so suddenly that Tiffany gasped.
"I woke up early and wondered where you were," said Miss Treason.
It was so easy to forget that she used other people's ears and eyes all the time, in an absent-minded sort of way. "Did you see the roses?" asked Tiffany. She hadn't felt the telltale tickle, but she hadn't exactly had much time for anything but worry.
"Yes, fine things," said Miss Treason. "I wish I could help you, Tiffany, but I'm going to be otherwise occupied. And romance is an area where I cannot offer much advice."
"Romance?" said Tiffany, shocked.
"The girl Weatherwax and Miss Tick will have to guide you," Miss Treason went on. "I must say, though, that I suspect that neither of them has jousted much in the lists of love."
"Lists of love?" said Tiffany. It was getting worse.
"Can you play poker?" Miss Treason asked.
"Pardon?"
"Poker. The card game. Or cripple Mr. Onion. Chase my neighbour up the passage. You must have sat up with the dead and dying before."
"Well, yes," but I've never played cards with them. Anyway, I don't know how to play.
I'll teach you. There's a pack of cards in the bottom drawer of the dresser. Go and fetch them.
Is this like gambling? My father said that people shouldn't gamble.
Miss Treason nodded.
Good advice, my dear. Don't worry. The way I play poker isn't like gambling at all.
When Tiffany awoke with a jolt, playing cards sliding off her dress and onto the floor, the cold, grey light of morning filled the room. She peered at Miss Treason, who was snoring like a pig. What was the time? It was 6 at least. What should she do? Nothing. There was nothing to do. She picked up the ace of wands and stared at it. So that was poker, was it? Well, she hadn't been too bad at it, once she'd worked out that it was all about making your face tell lies. For most of the time, the cards were just something to do with your hands. Miss Treason slept on. Tiffany wondered if she should get some breakfast, but it seemed such a...
The ancient kings of Jelly Baby, who are bedded in pyramids, said Miss Treason from the bed, used to believe that they could take things with them into the next world, such things as gold and precious stones and even slaves. On that basis, please make me a ham sandwich.
You mean, Tiffany began.
The journey after death is quite a long one, said Miss Treason, sitting up. I may get hungry.
But you'll just be a soul.
Well, perhaps a ham sandwich has a soul too, said Miss Treason, as she swung her skinny legs out of the bed. I'm not sure about the mustard, but it's worth a try. Hold still there.
This was because she had picked up her hairbrush and was using Tiffany as a mirror. The fiercely concentrated glare a few inches away was as much as Tiffany could bear on a morning like this.
Thank you. You may go and make the sandwich, said Miss Treason, laying the brush aside. I will now get dressed.
Tiffany hurried out and washed her face in the basin in her room. She always did that after the eyeballing, but she'd never plucked up the courage to object, and now certainly wasn't the time to start. As she dried her face, she thought she heard a muffled sound outside and went over to the window. There was frost on... Oh, no. Oh, no, no. He was at it again. The frost ferns spelled the word Tiffany over and over. She grabbed a rag and wiped them off, but the ice only formed again, thicker. She hurried downstairs. The ferns were all over the windows, and when she tried to wipe them off, the rag froze to the glass. It creaked when she pulled at it. Her name, all over the window, over all the windows. Maybe over all the windows in all the mountains, everywhere. He'd come back. That was dreadful. But also, just a bit cool. She didn't think the word, because as far as Tiffany knew, the word meant slightly cold. But she thought the thought, even so. It was a hot little thought.
In my day, young men would just carve the girl's initials on a tree, said Miss Treason, coming down the stairs one careful step at a time.
Too late, Tiffany felt the tickle behind her eyes.
It's not funny, Miss Treason. What shall I do?
I don't know. If possible, be yourself.
Miss Treason bent down creakily and opened her hand. The seeing-eye mouse hopped down onto the floor, turned, and stared at her with tiny black eyes for a moment. She prodded it with a finger.
Go on, off you go.
Thank you,
she said, and then it scuttled off to a hole. Tiffany helped her upright, and the old witch said,
You're starting to snivel, aren't you?
Well, it's all a bit, Tiffany began. The little mouse had looked so lost and forlorn.
Don't cry, said Miss Treason. Living this long's not as wonderful as people think. I mean, you get the same amount of youth as everyone else, but a great big extra helping of being very old and deaf and creaky. Now, blow your nose and help me on with the raven's perch.
He might still be out there, Tiffany mumbled as she eased the perch onto the thin shoulders. Then she rubbed at the window again and saw shapes and movement. Oh. They came, she said.
What? Said Miss Treason. She stopped. There's lots of people out there.
Yes, said Tiffany.
What do you know about this, my girl?
Well, you see, they kept asking when...
Fetch my skulls! They mustn't see me without my skulls! How does my hair look?
Said Miss Treason, frantically winding up her clock. It looks nice.
Nice? Nice? Are you mad? Mess it up this minute!
Miss Treason demanded.
And fetch my most raggedy cloak. This one's far too clean. Move yourself, child.
It took several minutes to get Miss Treason ready, and a lot of the time was spent convincing her that taking the skulls out in daylight might be dangerous, in case they got dropped and someone saw the labels. Then Tiffany opened the door. A murmur of conversation crashed into silence. There were people in a crowd all around the door. As Miss Treason stepped forward, it parted to leave a clear path. To her horror, Tiffany saw a dug grave on the other side of the clearing. She hadn't expected that. She wasn't sure what she had expected, but a dug grave wasn't it.
"Who dug?"
"Our blue friends," said Miss Treason. "I asked them to." And then the crowd started to cheer. Women hurried forward with big bunches of yew, holly and mistletoe, the only green things growing. People were laughing. People were crying. They clustered around the witch, forcing Tiffany out to the edge of the crowd. She went quiet and listened.
"We don't know what we'll do without you, Miss Treason."
"I don't think we'll get another witch as good as you, Miss Treason."
"We never thought you'd go, Miss Treason. You brought my old granddad into the world."
Walking into the grave, Tiffany thought, well, that's style. That is solid gold boffo. They'll remember that for the rest of their lives.
"In that case, you shall keep all the puppies but one,"
Miss Treason had stopped to organise the crowd.
"The custom is to give that one to the owner of the dog. You should have kept the bitch in after all and minded your fences. And your question, Mr. Blinkcorn."
Tiffany stood up straight. They were bothering her, even this morning. But she wanted to be bothered. Being bothered was her life. "Miss Treason," she snapped, pushing her way through the mob, "remember, you have an appointment." It wasn't the best thing to say, but a lot better than, "You said you were going to die in about 5 minutes' time." Miss Treason turned and looked uncertain for a moment.
"Oh, yes," she said. "Yes, indeed. We'd better get on."
Then, still talking to Mr. Blinkhorn about some complex problem concerning a fallen tree and someone's shed, and with the rest of the crowd trailing after her, she let Tiffany walk her gently to the graveside. "Well, at least you got a happy ending, Miss Treason," Tiffany whispered. It was a silly thing to say and deserved what it got.
"We make happy endings, child, day to day. But you see, for the witch, there are no happy endings. There are just endings. And here we are."
Best not to think, thought Tiffany. Best not to think you're climbing down an actual ladder into an actual grave. Try not to think about helping Miss Treason down the ladder onto the leaves that are piled up at one end. Do not let yourself know you're standing in a grave. Down here, the horrible clock seemed to clank even louder. Clonk, clank. Clonk, clank. Miss Treason trod the leaves down a bit and said cheerfully,
"Yes, I can see myself being quite comfortable here. Listen, child, I told you about the books, did I not? And there is a small gift for you under my chair. Yes, this seems adequate. Oh, I forgot."
Clonk, clank. Clonk, clank, went the clock, sounding much louder down there. Miss Treason stood on tiptoe and poked her head over the edge of the hole.
"Mr. Easy, you owe 2 months' rent to the Widow Langley, understand? Mr. Plenty, the pig belongs to Mrs. Frumont, and if you don't give it back to her, I shall come back and groan under your window. Mistress Fulsome, the Dogelli family have had right of passage over the Turnwise pasture since even I cannot remember, and you must...
Clonk. There was a moment, one long moment, when the sudden silence of the clock not ticking any more filled the clearing like thunder. Slowly, Miss Treason sagged down onto the leaves. It took a few dreadful seconds for her brain to start working, and then Tiffany screamed at the people clustered above, "Go back, all of you, give us some air!" She knelt down as they backed hurriedly away. The smell of the raw soil was sharp in the air. At least Miss Treason seemed to have died with her eyes shut. Not everyone did. Tiffany hated having to shut them for people. It was like killing them all over again. "Miss Treason?" she whispered. That was the first test. There were a lot of them, and you had to do them all. Speak to them. Raise an arm. Check the pulses, including the one behind the ear. Check for breath with a mirror. And she'd always been so nervous about getting them wrong that the first time she'd had to go out to deal with someone who looked dead, a young man who'd been in a horrible sawmill accident, she'd done every single test, even though she'd had to go and find his head. There were no mirrors in Miss Treason's cottage. In that case, she should think, "This is Miss Treason here, and I heard her wind her clock up only a few minutes ago." She smiled. "Miss Treason?" she said, very close to the woman's ear. "I know you're in there." And that's when the morning, which had been sad, weird, odd and horrible, became boffo all the way. Miss Treason smiled. "Have they gone?" she inquired.
"Miss Treason," said Tiffany sternly, "that was a terrible thing to do."
"I stopped my clock with my thumbnail," said Miss Treason proudly. "Couldn't disappoint them, eh? Had to give them a show."
"Miss Treason," said Tiffany severely, "did you make up the story about your clock?"
"Of course I did. And it's a wonderful bit of folklore, a real corker. Miss Treason and her clockwork heart. Might even become a myth if I'm lucky. They'll remember Miss Treason for thousands of years."
Miss Treason closed her eyes again. "I'll certainly remember you, Miss Treason," said Tiffany. "I will really, because—" The world had gone grey and was getting greyer. And Miss Treason had gone very still. "Miss Treason?" said Tiffany, nudging her. "Miss Treason?"
"Miss Eumenides Treason, aged 111.
Tiffany heard the voice inside her head. It didn't seem to have come through her ears. And she'd heard it before, making her quite unusual. Most people hear the voice of death only once. Miss Treason stood up, without the creak of even one bone, and she looked just like Miss Treason, solid and smiling. What now lay on the dead leaves was, in this strange light, just a shadow. But a very tall, dark figure was standing beside her. It was Death himself. Tiffany had seen him before, in his own land beyond the dark door, but you didn't need to have met him before to know who he was. The scythe, the long hooded robe, and of course the bundle of hourglasses were all clues.
"Where are your manners, child?"
said Miss Treason. Tiffany looked up and said, "Good morning."
"Good morning. Tiffany Aching, aged 13," said Death in his no-voice. "I see you are in good health."
"A little curtsy would be in order, too," said Miss Treason.
"To Death," thought Tiffany. "Granny Aching wouldn't have liked that. Never bend the knee to tyrants," she would say.
"At last, Miss Eumenides Treason, we must walk together."
Death took her gently by the arm.
"Hey, wait a minute," said Tiffany. "Miss Treason is 113. I adjusted it slightly for professional reasons," said Miss Treason. 111 sounds so adolescent."
As if to hide her ghostly embarrassment, she plunged her hand into a pocket and pulled out the spirit of the ham sandwich.
"Ah, it worked," she said. "I know I... Where has the mustard gone?"
"Mustard is always tricky," said Death as they began to fade.
"No mustard? What about pickled onions?"
"Pickles of all sorts don't seem to make it. I'm sorry."
Behind them, the outline of a door appeared.
"No relishes in the next world? That's dreadful. What about chutneys?"
said the vanishing Miss Treason.
"There's jam. Jam works."
"Jam? Jam? With ham?"
And they were gone. The light went back to normal. Sound came back. Time came back. Once again, the thing to do was not to think too deeply, just keep her thoughts nice and level and focused on what she had to do. Watched by the people still hovering around the clearing, Tiffany went and got some blankets, bundling them up so that when she carried them back to the grave, no one would notice that the two boffo skulls and the spiderweb making machine were tucked inside. Then, with Miss Treason and the secret of boffo safely tucked away, she filled in the grave, and at this point a couple of men ran and helped her, right until there came from under the soil, clonk, clank, clonk. The men froze. So did Tiffany, but her third thoughts cut in with, "Don't worry, remember, she stopped it. A falling stone or something must have started it going again." She relaxed and said sweetly, "That was probably just her saying goodbye." The rest of the soil got shoveled in really quickly. And now I'm part of the boffo, Tiffany thought, as the people hurried back to their villages. But Miss Treason worked very hard for them. She deserves to be a myth, if that's what she wants. And I'll bet that on dark nights they'll hear her. But now there was nothing but the wind in the trees. She stared at the grave. Someone should say something. Well, she was the witch after all. There wasn't much religion on the chalk or in the mountains. The Omnians came and had a prayer meeting about once a year, and sometimes a priest from the Nine-Day Wanderers or the Sea of Little Faith or the Church of Small Gods would come by on a donkey. People went to listen, if a priest sounded interesting, or went red and shouted, and they sang the songs if they had a good tune, and then they went home again.
"We are small people," her father had said. "It ain't wise to come to the attention of the gods."
Tiffany remembered the words he had said over the grave of Granny Aching, what seemed like a lifetime ago. On the summer turf of the Downlands, with the buzzards screaming in the sky, they had seemed to be all there was to say. So she said them now. "If any ground is consecrate, this ground is. If any day is holy, it is this day." She saw a movement, and then Billy Bigchin, the Gonagal, scrambled onto the turned earth of the grave. He gave Tiffany a solemn look, and then unslung his mouse pipes and began to play. Humans could not hear the mouse pipes very well because the notes were too high, but Tiffany could feel them in her head. A Gonagal could put many things into his music, and she felt sunsets and autumns, and the mist on hills, and the smell of roses, so red they were nearly black. When he had finished, the Gonagal stood in silence for a moment, looked at Tiffany again, then vanished. Tiffany sat on a stump and cried a bit, because it needed to be done. Then she went and milked the goats, because someone had to do that too.